The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get your free financial survival toolkit and find out where to buy gold and silver safely at great prices. Sign up at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
1490 WGCH. This is Carrie Lutz, and you're listening to the Financial Survival Network, which is brought to you by Miles Franklin. They've been in business selling gold since 1990, and I'm a customer because when you buy, they ship. To find out more, go to milesfranklin.com or call them at 800-822-8080 and get a free quote. There's some important energy news you and I need to better understand. And who better to explain it than the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, Carrie. How are you?
I'm hanging in. I just got back from Freedom Fest in Vegas. It was a lot of fun. You have to come next year.
Well, I'm waiting for an invite to speak from those people, and I will be on a plane immediately. So.
All right. Well, you'll have my invitation. Okay?
There you go.
So... these energy prices, it makes me glad I'm just a radio show talk host and I don't have to stay up late at night worrying about price volatility. And, you know, my major concern is how much is it going to cost me to fill the tank today and what's the price of natural gas? But what are you making of the energy prices as they stand right now?
Well, we've got many things going on as per usual. I think that we've seen some weakness again in the oil market, and I attribute that to basically the global economic slowdown. We had a labor strike in Norway, and then we have this ongoing European worries. So you add all that up, and we've got weaker oil prices, despite the fact that Iran can't reach any sort of agreement with the powers that be in the world regarding their nuclear plans.
Yeah, and right now, what, West Texas Intermediate's at 88.43, Brent's at 104.49. So the spread between the two, which is really interesting, has narrowed to $12.06. Unfortunately, nobody can figure out how to make money on it.
Yeah, that's right. If we could learn how to arbitrage this stuff, especially Henry Hub gas at 288 earlier today, again trading in backwardation with a 3-month contract at 281. And lo and behold, if you live in South Korea or Japan and you're taking wholesale price on natural gas, that's $17 a million BTU. So that's where we need to be able to arbitrage. What is that, a factor of
almost
5?
Yeah, yeah, well, it's a lot. Yeah. It's pretty high. Actually, earlier in the month, it would have been 8. So now it's about 6 and change. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, it seems like the prices have firmed up a little bit in North America, because here we are. They went up in the summer, and we've had some pretty intense heat waves around, which have definitely juiced up electricity demand a bit. So that's about the best that I can figure out on it.
Well, I think so. And tell you the truth, that's not uncommon in the summer. Well, if you look at seasonal gas prices, you're going to hit a low in perhaps March and April and May, and then we have the summer cooling season, and prices usually go up, but storage is still really high. So that's going to overhang the market for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we need another winter in the Northeast like we had 2 years ago. That would really drive the price way, way up. But that was also driving people out of New York, for better or for worse. So what'd you make of Kasich's ban on drilling in Lake Erie?
Well, it really doesn't surprise me with Kasich. You know, he's a bit of a maverick Republican. He often sides, I would call him center right at best. He's was one of the Fox News heads, and those guys tend to be very mainstream Republicans for the most part, in my opinion. So Yeah, I banned drilling under and on the shores of Lake Erie. It's a bit curious. Ontario has been allowing drilling on its portion of the lake since 1913, with, to my knowledge, no ill effects. The feds have had a ban on all Great Lake drilling for over a decade, and I read something today from one of the NGO organizations, and they're crowing about how Kosich is saving the lake.
Saving it from what? From development?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, you and I both remember this. It wasn't much more than 30 years ago or so when the Cuyahoga River, which is flows through Cleveland into Lake Erie, caught on fire. And so... we are much cleaner now. The other thing that Kasich is considering right now is increasing the severance tax for fracked wells up to a 4% gross royalty, and that would include any royalty due to the landowners. And, you know, the Utica Shale, which is the new target in eastern Ohio, has very high potential. You know, this could be a rival, could even be bigger than the Eagle Ford or the Bakken in South Texas and North Dakota, Montana, respectively. So I think what you're going to see, Kerry, is especially in these relatively bankrupt states such as Illinois, and you certainly see it. I don't know what the price of gas is in New York, but I know in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the price is about $3.15 a gallon right now. I know it's much higher in New York. I know it's much higher in Illinois. So I think what you're going to see, if oil prices and gasoline prices continue to drop, you're going to see these bankrupt states start raising gasoline taxes. And, you know, the price of gas... the wholesale price of gas is pretty much everywhere the same throughout the United States. And the difference is state taxes.
Yes, yeah, state taxes, transportation costs, and it's just narrow-minded political stupidity. All they're doing is keeping their people away from the jobs. And these are high-paying, six-figure jobs. There was an article about some guy who was a teacher at a school, I think in North Dakota, and he was peeved because... this kid graduated school, you know, he did pretty well in school, but he wasn't a rocket scientist material. And the next thing you know, he's taken a job working in the Bakken Shale, making $90,000 a year. And this teacher was like, he didn't go to college, he didn't do anything, and he's just making $90,000 a year. How can that be right? And I say, how can that be wrong? That is what this country was built upon, this type of opportunity. And here this egghead teacher doesn't get it, like all wealth springs from the fountain pen of the president, and how dare you go into private industry and make more money than me.
Well, Obama, speaking of the president, has been crowing about how in the last 4 years or 3 years, I suppose, we've reduced our oil imports from 57% of use to 45%. Now, that is the lowest in 16 years. But then he turns right around and proposes new and more federal regulations and approval delays. Interesting little tidbit here. Last year, the BLM land leases and a lot of this shale gas and shale oil potential is on federal lands in the western U.S. The acreage leased last year was one half of what was leased during the previous administration in 2008. So, you know, there's a lot of thought out there that the U.S. could be independent of oil imports by somewhere in the order of 2020 to 2025. But I saw an anecdote today about some BLM regulator in the western states that's saying now that oil prices have gone down, the BLM has less incentive to approve drilling, and so in his opinion, delays are called for now in approval of drill applications.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mickey, I could get the U.S. self-sufficient in 5 years or less. You know how you do it? First of all, obviously rapid approval of drilling areas. especially when they're remote and there's no environmental sensitivity involved in it. And the other thing is, don't charge them any taxes, income or otherwise, for 5 years, phasing out, you know, half every year till it's gone. And for 5 years tax-free production, we would be energy self-sufficient, the United States, in 5 years, because that would unleash a drilling wave like we've never seen anything like. The only problem is what we've talked about before, we talked about it, hard assets, is the actual infrastructure to pump all this stuff. But I would guarantee that for that kind of incentive, companies would find ways to get that crude to market, and we'd see prices go down as well.
Well, we wouldn't. We don't have the transportation problem in oil business that we do in gas. You know, this whole thing about peak oil is—it's true. There is peak oil, but it's field and basin specific. And we've seen U.S. oil production up 15% year over year, and it's the highest it's been in 14 years. And this is basically because of horizontal fracking and new shale oil technology, especially, which we've already mentioned, the Eagle Ford of South Texas and the Bakken of North Dakota and eastern Montana. But the one that really is looming now that perhaps has even higher potential for so-called wet gas or gas with NGL, natural gas liquids, or significant condensate or oil production, the Utica Shale is looking like it could be one of the biggest and most prolific reservoirs that we can come up with. And of course, that's going to be in eastern Ohio and western New York and western Pennsylvania, where a lot of the environmental opposition is going on right now.
Yeah, it's funny. At Freedom Fest, I met a guy who I saw last year there, and he started talking about a certain newsletter writer and about peak oil. And I said, that's been disproved. There is no such thing as peak oil. The only thing that's peak oil is lower priced sources, huge reservoirs that are easily accessible and very cheap cost of production. But as far as quantity of oil, there is no shortage in the world. And he's like, he's arguing with me on this. And I pull out my phone and I said, how much oil do you think the U.S. is producing? And he didn't know. I thought it was 8 million. It's actually over 10 million barrels a day. And consumption is 21 million barrels a day. So that fits with what you said. 55% of the oil consumed in the United States is produced here. Totally disproved this myth. And it goes up every year. Once they start going back to those fields in California, in Oklahoma, and in Louisiana, and doing the enhanced recovery using fracking and horizontal drilling, forget it. The production is just going to go way up, and the costs aren't going to go up that much higher either.
Well, we've got a couple of new areas right now. Kansas is one of them, and Kansas is, people that are involved in oil business will know, Kansas is a major oil producer, has been for a long, long time. So, and the aforementioned Utica Shale. So, we got plenty of oil. We got plenty of gas. We just got to be able to drill for it and produce it. We need infrastructure for LNG liquefaction plants on the Gulf Coast and on the West Coast. We got one coming on the Gulf Coast, but it's still probably 4 or 5 years away. These things are expensive to build. You're looking at $10 billion, more or less. But man, oh man, if we can find a way to arbitrage these gas prices and get LNG moving to Northeast Asia, U.S. is going to be smiling all the way to the bank.
Oh, there's no question that just the political will doesn't exist. And it's funny you mentioned Kansas. I never realized that Kansas was that big a producer. And I was driving my daughter out to Denver. Of course, going to Colorado, you spend 500 or 600 miles in Kansas because it's like the widest state in the country next to Texas, I think. There's oil well, and more in western Kansas, oil well, oil field after oil field. And it's something you never think of Kansas for oil. You think of Kansas for wheat. And there it was. Now, with all the enhanced recovery, Kansas is definitely going to get bigger and bigger. And eventually, I think we had this discussion, you, me, Marin Katusa, Keith Schaefer, we had this roundtable, and my comment was federal government just released new rules about fracking, and there's nothing in those rules that really put a wood stake through the heart of it. They're, you know, things that are probably fairly reasonable. And everybody chimed in that they can't stop this thing. It's too big, and we're going there with whether they like it or not. So the politicians will find a way to approve it. And I guess that's what's more or less happening, with the exception of a Kasich here or there, and the Obama administration trying to throw cold water to slow it down. But that's all it'll do. Slow it down a little. Nothing's going to stop it.
Well, I think you're right there, Kerry. So I'm always try to be a glass half full sort of guy, and I'm very optimistic about the future of the oil and gas business in our country. And being a cornucopian, I think that technology will always rule in conjunction with the economics. If the price gets high enough, there's the incentive, and we're sitting pretty in the U.S. right now for both oil and gas.
Yeah, I see the day when we will be net exporters, perhaps the largest exporter, because we got such a jump. If we don't blow it like we've done with so many other industries, and remember, the glass is always totally full, but sometimes it has more air in it, and other times it has more water, but it's always full. Somebody, some physics student pointed that out to me.
Well, this is true, and you know, Nixon in 1972 told us that we needed to be energy efficient and wean ourselves from foreign oil. And so we're 40 years later right now, and
we're
still a long ways away. But we've got the technology and the good American know-how and the economic incentive to do this now. So let's hope we get it done the next 10 to 15 years.
I agree, because I want to throw away my Carter era turtleneck sweater, because he didn't want us to produce anything. He just wanted us all to wear heavier sweaters. That was his solution. Turn down the thermostat and increase your clothing thickness, and you'll be happy. So on that note, Mickey, hey, thanks for joining us and shedding a little light, because things are happening pretty fast in the oil patch, the energy patch, much faster than I remember things happening in the past 30, 40 years.
I agree, and let's look forward to better things in the future.
All right, Mickey, we'll talk to you soon, and you be well.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.